to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence, brought to you by the FNX Network and My Sportswear. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me this evening are Rodri Giggs and Director of Lucky 7 Management, Jay Austin. Gents, evening, how's things? Anyone? Someone?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, it's just been a hectic week, but yeah, all good.
Hi guys, yeah, all good. Just finished filming.
What are you filming exactly, Jay? I didn't ask you earlier.
Yeah, it's a British film called The Big Day. It's a wedding scene today and yesterday. And so I've got a few clients involved in that. It was filmed in Wilmslow, actually.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
So, yeah, it's quite exciting.
Excellent. Nice. And, Rodri, good result for FC United in the FA Youth Cup, mate.
Yeah, it was a good result, mate, yeah. We a long trip down there, even though it was just a Wakefield. But, yeah, the lads did well and we're in the first round proper, so we could get a big, well, I say a big club. You could get a League One or League Two club, which would be good for the boys.
Fantastic. Well, gents, let's talk about the most important game of the season so far, I guess. And it was billed as Red Monday, but a certain broadcaster, it turned out to be Dead Monday. It was one of the biggest games in the calendar, and it's failed to live up to the hype. What did you both make of your team's performance? Let's start with Rodri, because you're the away team, being a United fan. What did you make of their performance?
It's a typical performance at Anfield. You try and quiet the crowd down, obviously. Shut all the spaces off and defend in numbers and then open it. Hopefully it opens up in the second half, but it just carried on into the second half. It was a dull game. It was just teams cancelling each other out, really. And classic Jose Mourinho.
Did you expect that performance?
Yes.
Yeah.
If anyone else didn't expect their performance, they must not have seen Jose Mourinho in the last 6 or 7 years. He goes to big clubs like that. Alex Ferguson, we'll go on to later, Alex Ferguson did it many, many times, so I don't know what the problem is. Obviously, with the players that United have got, this should be more expansive, but I remember from 20 years ago, you keep it tight, you get the crowd quiet, and then you see if you can press on in the second half, but obviously they weren't able to do that, and it was a dull game in the end.
Jay, what's your opinion?
Well, I pretty much agree, actually, with what we're saying. I actually did go for goals, though, because I actually didn't think that Man United would withstand the attack at the Kop, you know. With Firmino and Sturridge and Coutinho, I didn't think that sort of there's too much pace for the back four, but I have to respect Mourinho and his tactics. He did a job on us, really. That's a good point, because not many people will come to Anfield and get anything off this season under Klopp. I think the way he set us up, especially at home, is for us to not to lose and make it a fortress, which it used to be, but it hasn't been like that for years. You know, Brendan Rodgers sort of tried that a couple of years ago when we just lost the title. I actually agree with him on everything. You know, Mourinho parked the bus. And he did it well, you know. No one can complain about it, though. It's just what happens in football these days. You do anything to get a result.
Absolutely. Now, the thing is, the first 20 to 25 minutes, United played pretty well, to be fair. I think they're the better team. Although, when it came to the second half, as you said, yeah, Mourinho did park the bus, but it's obviously down to the opponents to break them down. And just as Liverpool did against Burnley a few weeks ago, they just could not break down those two backs of four. But what I found quite interesting with Mourinho's tactics is he kind of deployed Daley Blind as a left-back, but played him like a left centre-back. So when Liverpool were attacking, he kind of shifted in the middle. So you got three centre-backs. And then you had Ashley Young supporting him at left-back.
But I was looking at it before and pictured him. You even got Rashford on the other side, tucking in, and then you've got Herrera and Fellaini shielding back too. So it's difficult to play down when you've got literally a back six and then two in front. Then there's not much space down there, and that's what Mourinho does. He just puts them and gets the back four or back six in numbers, close down the spaces, and then it just makes it difficult. That makes it difficult for anyone.
And Jay, I noticed that, you know, Emre Can and Henderson started in the middle of the park. Were you surprised at their selection? Because I kind of thought he was going to drop Coutinho in the middle of the park and put Origi up front with Sturridge and Firmino.
Well, I wasn't actually surprised in the aspect, because I'm surprised that Chan hasn't featured more, because he featured, I think, every game on the clock. You know, I don't think he missed many minutes at all last season, and this season he's not really featured much. So I know he's had an injury as well, but I wasn't surprised actually. For some reason, Origi's not featured much. When again last season, he featured heavily as well. But you know, I think in the end, second half, our fitness sort of showed a bit better. And you know, it was in fact some fantastic saves. We could have had two or three. You know, one world class save there was. I thought it was a dead cert goal.
Absolutely. And to be fair, look, I saw the team lineup, and when I saw Dali Blint at left back, I thought, here we go, Mane's going to absolutely rip him to pieces. But that wasn't the case. Rodri, why do you think Mane didn't get much change out of United last night?
Just doing a job on him, being tight, Jose Mourinho. Gary never wasn't the quickest, but if you close down the space and defend well and tight on your man and show him where you want him to go, And Daly Blind's a clever player. He might not be the quickest player, but he's got a football brain. I mean, he knows the game. So, and that's what they did the job on him.
You think that's why Young was selected to help him out with the pace?
Yeah, most definitely. And you can see when he came off it, how he was hugging him and patting him on the shoulder. Ashley Young's not let him down, and he's been to every training session. He's not been injured. He's been involved in mostly every game. So he does his job, and that's what Jose Mourinho likes, players that will work hard and do a job for him.
Jay, that's Liverpool's first clean sheet of the season, mate. Karius looked really shaky in goal. Would you say he was nervous? And if so, do you think he was unfairly thrown in?
I don't think he was nervous. My opinion on the situation is that he was always, you know, I don't think last season Klopp wasn't convinced by Mignolet, and he... I watched a few games and I could see that he wasn't happy. He doesn't get out from the back how he likes, but he's trying to get Karius to use his feet a bit more. But I just think that United, in the first half especially, they did put Liverpool under a lot of pressure, so that's where a couple of mistakes happened. But I think he's got a lot of, I think long term maybe the number one, I really do. I think it's what brought him in over from Germany.
I think, as you mentioned, Mignolet, to be fair on the guy, okay, he does make a few mistakes, and they seem to be costly ones. But then again, when goalkeepers make mistakes, they always tend to be costly ones anyway. But he keeps about 10 to 15 clean sheets a season. So he doesn't do much wrong, really.
But is that's also might be team collective, isn't it? I know if it's the same with when you concede, though. It's not always the keeper's fault. It can be like defensive mistakes. But I just think, for me, he's always got a mistake in him, Mignolet, and that's my opinion as a Liverpool fan. I think he's always got a mistake waiting, whereas De Gea for United has been phenomenal over the last couple of years. You know, he had a couple of shaky moments a few years ago, but United backed him, and he's the best keeper in the league. Hate to say it, he's Man United, but he's the best keeper in the league for me.
Rodri, what do you reckon?
I think it's a personal preference. It's like the Pep Guardiola and the Joe Hart situation. He wants a certain keeper, and he's my man, and they're going to stick with it.
You're right.
I don't think he looks nervous. I think he looks dodgy on crosses. But like when David De Gea first came into the Premiership, he struggled on crosses. It's something he's going to have to learn with, and he's going to persist with it. And you can't just bring the keepers out and in and out. You've got to keep them in, back them, and give them confidence, and then you just see what happens over more number of games he's played, and see how
he'll end
of it after that.
Fair point. Jay, you know a thing or two about lookalikes. Don't you think he looks like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell?
That's a good shout, you know. Actually, I'll give you that one. It's not bad. I mean, he also looks like a keeper. I don't know if Roger would come across him, but he played for Exeter City, and then he went into non-league. He reminds me of a goalie, like got non-league legend called Danny Potter, who's now retired. He played for Exeter City for years. And he's now a cabbie, but that's who he reminds me of as well.
Rodri, people were quick to say Mourinho parked the bus, but I seem to remember Ferguson playing similar styles in big games. United got where they came for, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they got. But Ferguson used to always do it. Ferguson in them days arguably had a better team, though, so he could do that system and maybe think, I can nick a goal away, but yeah, Ferguson's done it for years. But like I say, he had better players, so you could arguably say they could do it they're more likely to nick one than they did last night. But yeah, you've got to do that. When you go to Anfield, if you don't quiet the crowd down and they get an early goal, then you're in for a long, long, long night.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, on to the next game, and Theo Walcott netted the brace in 10-man Arsenal's 3-2 win against Swansea. Now, Rodri, that's 6 league wins on the trot for Arsenal, and they're now level points with City at the top of the table. A few weeks ago, you called them soft and predicted the wheels would come off in the new year. You sticking with that?
Yeah, like I said, they don't give the league title out in October, they give it out in May. And come May, Arsenal usually, historically, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, drop off. Mentally weak, not got enough decent players that can dig out and when it's up against it. I'll stick by my comments. I think they'll just be happy with being top four again.
Fair enough. And Jay, Arsene Wenger defended Granit Xhaka's red card, saying it was a dark yellow and he's not a dirty player at all. But I'd just like to point out that Xhaka's been sent off 8 times in 2.5 years. So, did he deserve to see red, in your opinion?
Well, funny enough, Stel, I haven't told you this, but I used to be an ex-referee, semi-pro referee, on the conference, and I actually would have sent him off only because I think it was, for me, this was my frustration as a player as well, as it was out of cynical. He knew what he was doing. He knew the player had got away from him, and he deliberately skied him down from behind. If you go back to 1990, when it, in the World Cup, it was letter of the law, it was a red card, wasn't it? And he was really hot on it, and then it sort of didn't carry on. But for me, it was just because it was cynical and deliberate, and he knew that the ball had gone away and the player had gone away from him, and he had no chance of getting it, so he just skied him down from behind. That was my, I would have sent him. It's like an orange card for me. Some referees give him, some won't.
I think Wayne Rooney's been sent off for something similar a few years ago.
Well, kicking out of someone.
Yeah, he kicked out on someone, but he was expecting a yellow card, and he sent him off.
Wasn't it Phil Dowd or something like that? I think he sent him.
Yeah, it was almost a carbon copy of the one against one for Arsenal, and he swiped him down just like to stop the play, but he sent him off. But it was reckless. It was just as bad, really. But it's preference of the referee. There's no consistency. Is there? One referee has sent him off, and one referee has given him a yellow card.
I don't think they'll be appealing on it. Anyway, I'll be surprised if they did lose the appeal. I can't see them getting overturned.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get an appeal on it because it's reckless and it's just blatantly kicking him out. He's not tripping him up. He's kicked him. He's booted him.
Cynical, wasn't he? He knew what he was doing anyway.
Yeah, he's tripping someone up and he's booting him.
Yeah, that thing you mentioned with Wayne Rooney was against West Ham a couple of years ago, and Stuart Downing booted him, didn't he?
Yeah, he basically kicked him. He was in the middle of the park, but he was just stopping the play because they were breaking on the attack. And he just kicked him, but he wasn't malicious. He was just to break the play up, but it was the way he did it.
Yeah, that's right.
He kicked him like 5 high, hit the inside of the 5, but stopped in play to trip him up. He could just trip him up by ankles.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's reckless, really, isn't it? So it's just preference of the referee.
Yeah. But doesn't the new law state that you get sent off if you don't make an attempt to win the ball, and and you've got no chance of winning the ball, you get a red card. Violent conduct. Because they change the laws every year, don't they, really? It's like changing your underpants. You probably go through more law changes than you change your boxers and all that.
Yeah, well, every year, because we're involved in the academy, and obviously I'm managers, we get these different FA rules every year. And this year, believe it or not, you can be offside being in your own half.
What?
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. What? Exactly. I couldn't even explain to you, but you can be offside from being in your own half.
Wow, okay, that's a new one.
Do you know, the offside rule's another topic, isn't it, we could talk about all night, because for me, it should go back to when you were playing, Rodri, offside. Yeah. It's too complicated now.
It's just a joke. I'm just like, so when the ball's played, if you're in... I just can't even explain to you. It was just baffling to me. I didn't just thought of that. You can be offside from being in your own half now if you're a last man.
It must be if you collect the ball and the ball is played.
I couldn't tell you. I just thought this is just stupid. So even, you can be offside in your own half. That's how stupid.
That's why though, Rodri. A lot of ex-pros. That's why there's no really ex-big name ex-pros taking up the assault. You know, they, about 5-6 years ago, they were really going for it, but then they just made the laws of the game so complicated.
That it makes it difficult for the referees. Sometimes you feel for them because do they even know the rules? Sometimes
I think you're right. You can see it sometimes. Especially on Match of the Day and stuff like that, when the assistants is flagging and the referee's ignored him, and you can see, and he's been told to drop his flag in his earpiece, you know, to carry on.
It's just consistency. That's all you want from him, but it's just inconsistent every year. So,
and the thing is, to be fair on them, I mean, it doesn't help when you got Howard Webb on BT Sports on one weekend, you know, scrutinising them, and then on the Monday you got Keith Hackett on the radio saying whatnot.
And that Gallagher, they're both contradicting each other.
Yeah, so even they don't know. And they've got more time on their hands.
Exactly. What's it gets us talking about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It gets us all talking about it, like us three.
That's it.
There you go.
There's a lot of money at stake now, and people can get relegated by a bad decision or the incorrect decision, and people lose their jobs and livelihoods.
Yeah, you're right.
True.
That's the problem with it, but there you go, people don't think about that.
Exactly. Well, gents, there's a pattern with Theo Walcott whereby he plays out of his skin over a certain period of time when he comes under some criticism from fans, then he goes missing when the dust settles. What are your thoughts on Theo Walcott's form?
How long you got?
Well, as long as you need.
He's frustrating, Theo Walcott, because you can see there's a player in there, but it's the same thing with Jack Wilshere or Oxlade-Chamberlain. Are they going to last the season? Do they want to play centre forward? Do they want to play right midfield? Where do you want to play? How old is he now? 27, 28?
Yeah, about that.
Getting on, isn't he?
27.
So he should be in his prime now. He just needs to concentrate on keeping fit. And if he keeps him fit and looks after himself, he could do some damage for Arsenal, but it's just that inconsistent. He'll come out, he'll be on fire, then he'll be out for 2 months. Comes back, I don't want to play centre forward, I want to play right midfield.
But I say, does Wenger know where his best position is? Because, you know, where does Theo actually want to play? You know, as a striker, just off the front two, or as a winger?
When he plays that wide, I don't think he can do anything. His movement is not the movement you expect from a winger. Yeah, he's quick, but he hasn't got a trick. All he's going to do is kick it past you, so people just are onto that now. So I think centre-forward is the place for him if I was a manager.
Was it Alan Hansen a few years ago called it, said he was fit? Not a clever footballer. I think, you know, for me, on the subject, he should never have left Saints. He left there too early. You know, he has a stage where he wasn't playing much. I just think that he's flattered to Steve over the years. Like you said, he should be peaking now, and he just doesn't do it enough to me, you know, week in, week out.
The thing is, he kind of held them to ransom a few years ago with the contract demands. I mean, I'm not saying he deliberately held them to ransom, but it just appeared that he was prolonging it and trying to get a better deal, which is understandable. But I haven't seen anything in the last 10 years to say that he's developed as a better player. It just seems that he's kind of like stagnated or just gone sideways. I mean, okay, maybe this season might be his season, but a couple of years ago, he got that hat-trick for England against Croatia, and everyone thought, oh, it's Theo Walcott. But he does this every season. There comes a point where everyone starts slating him, then he picks up some form, and once that's done, he's over that purple patch, he goes back into his old ways, or people forget it because someone else takes the mantle.
Yeah, like I say, he's a frustrated character, but then that's why you could argue with the same thing about Wenger. You know, some of them say they want Wenger out, some of them want him in, some of them like Bill, some of them don't. It's a difficult one, but he's got it in him to be a top player, but it's like I say, you've got to be consistent. You can't be in one for 2 months and out for 2 months, and you've got to be season after season after season. And he's too injury prone to me, so he'll never be a good player. I'll never be a great player. He'll just be one of them that, yeah, he had good potential but never reached it.
Well, I'd have a feeling he's going to prove us wrong.
I hope he does.
That's what I was saying. Okay, well, Robbie Savage, he was vociferous as ever, letting the world know how upset he was about Bob Bradley getting the Swansea job ahead of a young British manager. Now, this is the same Robbie Savage who laughed at Leicester when they appointed Ranieri and also had the pop at Southampton for replacing Adkins with Pochettino. Rodri, you are a very proud Welshman. Is it time Robbie Savage put his personal agendas to rest, or does he have a point?
Well, everyone can get things wrong. You know, even the great managers or great pundits get things wrong. Look at Alan Hansen. But when I say about Alan Hansen, what he's saying when he says you don't win anything with kids, and he was one of the best pundits around. So everyone gets things wrong. But Robbie Savage is a bit of a brown nose, isn't he? Really? So I've said that before, especially towards Ryan. What I've seen, he's he was put it out there because probably Ryan's his mate or young British managers should be given a chance. But, you know, if you own a club, you can do what you want. It's as simple as that. They put the money into the club so they can hire who they want. If someone has an interview or someone they don't think is right for the job, that's their prerogative. He's got his opinion. Do we agree with most of the things he's saying? Not really.
For me, I would have never got rid of Gary Monk, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. Exactly, and neither would I, but obviously something's happened indoors there, so obviously they've got him out. But I don't know why they brought this guy, the bloke who they just got rid of. I've never heard of him, so...
Oh, Gwendolyn, yeah.
I don't know why...
I think he was more like a stopgap. I think it was a stopgap more than anything, to be honest. I mean, they saw him at Udinese, how well he did, you know, bringing through the likes of Alexis Sanchez and all these other players. And I guess they thought he could work wonders with what they got. And let's be fair, he kept them up last season. But I think the reason why they brought in Bob Bradley is pretty simple. It's American owners. They want that commercial investment from the States. They want Swansea to be a bigger brand in the United States. And how better than to get a former US coach, you know, I think that's their thinking behind it, really.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just not rocket science, either. American owners have brought American coaching. It's not rocket science, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
But Robbie Savage, he's got a lot to say. I mean, most of it's just baloney.
Yeah, but he never puts his money where his mouth is. If he was, you've totally got respect for Jimmy Bullard. He's a pundit. Or if you want it, now he's got out and he started the grassroots. He's managing Leatherhead in the Ryman League, you know. And for Savage, I thought at one point he was going to get into management. He was talking about doing coaching, but he seems to enjoy sitting on the sofa and eating.
Yeah, do you know what the thing is with these pundits? And no disrespect to them, but a lot of them seem to get jobs because they can talk their way into it. Like, for example, if you look at David Hay, he talks himself into heavyweight boxing matches, in my opinion anyway. And it's the same with Robbie Savage. I mean, let's be honest, he wasn't the greatest of footballers. He was a mouthy so-and-so. He still is a mouthy so-and-so. And the thing is, people buy into it. And apparently he's ratings, and that's probably one of the reasons why he's got that role at BT, or even writing for the Daily Mirror.
Yeah, he's controversial, and people love to hate Robbie Savage. So he's not daft, he knows that.
And he knows we'll talk about him, which is what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
it's not
as fast as
he looks. Yeah, there you go. Well, on to one of Robbie Savage's former teams, Leicester, and Antonio Conte's 3-5-2 system, or 3-4-3, however you want to call it, finally paid dividends as Chelsea trounced Leicester 3-0. Jay, is this the worst title defence in Premier League history? Blackburn were poor, but aside from a 5-0 loss at Coventry and a couple of 3-0s on Merseyside, I don't remember them capitulating as bad as Leicester. How can Ranieri turn things round?
Well, I think he's prioritising the Champions League. You know, I mean, you know, that's my opinion on the matter. But funny enough, I was having a conversation, a name drop here, but Carl Robinson, back in the summer, the last pre-season friendly they were at, I went and watched him, and we were talking about Leicester at length, and he said, "I'm back then, you know, to get relegated." And I agreed with him, actually. And then a friend of mine who's a Leicester fan laughed and said, "No, we're going to go in top four again." Yeah. But I think that their squad's not strong enough. I don't think they've bought well. And I think that I can see Mahrez leaving at Christmas. And if I don't think they get relegated now, maybe, because I think there's some poorer teams in the league. Mm. But I think they're going to be bottom half of the table, and I think they're going to prioritise on the Champions League, maybe get knocked out of the quarters or semis. They might surprise a few people.
Yeah, I remember back end of 2 years ago when they went on that ridiculous winning streak. I think it was like 12 wins in 14 or something like that. And they appointed Ranieri, and I was surprised because, you know, I saw what he did for Greece or what he didn't do, and I thought, what are they doing here? But to be fair, he proved me wrong, and they won the league title. But I was saying to a friend of mine that's a Leicester fan, beginning of that season, and I said, look, you're not. There are three teams worse off than you, so you're not going to get relegated. And I think that's the same thing with this season. I think Hull are going to go down, I think Sunderland are going to go down, and it could be any one of, I don't know, I don't think Bournemouth are going to go. Who do you think, Jay?
Well, I came on your show a few weeks ago and said Bournemouth would struggle, and I still, when we talk about Jack Wilshere, I still think that they've had some good results, yeah, but they've not, it's early days still. I still think Bournemouth will be down there, actually, fighting, you know, but picking that third, I agree with you, Sunderland, Hull, and then it could be one of six or seven, you know, it's a hard one to pick, actually, for the third place.
Burnley, Middlesbrough, even
yes, yeah. Yes, Middlesbrough maybe. If they don't sort their home form out and score more, it might be Middlesbrough.
Absolutely. And Rodri, do you think Vardy and Mahrez regret choosing to stay?
No, not at all. I think they're realistic. I think they knew, they obviously got feelings for the club. They wanted to stay there. They wanted to see the Champions League out, which they're flying in. They've got three wins out of three, so that makes them basically through. So that'll probably keep Mahrez there till the end of the season, because he'll want to finish. Why would he want to leave and not be able to play Champions League football? That just wouldn't make sense to me. I don't think they'll get relegated, even though I backed them to get relegated at the start of the season, because I was in the same boat as Jay. And I know Carl, I played with him years ago. He was, I totally agree. I backed him to get relegated, but I don't think he will. I think Burnley, Hull and Middlesbrough will get relegated.
Oh, you reckon Moyes will keep him up, or do you think they'll sack him and bring in allies?
I think they'll sack him and bring Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, you can see it every time.
Yeah, I think Big Sam will get a lifeline.
Because again, the dust has settled already, hasn't it, with the England thing? So
yeah, and let's face it, he's not done really much wrong, has he?
No, I wouldn't say so. I just think it's been blown out of proportion.
Like I say, he's been a bit naive and a bit stupid, but not really done much wrong. And we all knew he loved the brown envelope. If he didn't, he'd been on there.
Super.
The thing is, though, it was a strange appointment, I thought, by the FA anyway. I thought it was a bit desperate, because you remember Panorama a few years ago, his son was done, wasn't he? He's caught up in that.
There's a whole host of these old managers that love a brown envelope. I could tell you 10 off the top of my head, but you know,
I look forward to reading your book, Rodri.
I did.
I look forward to reading your book then.
The thing is, there was this. I remember there was a rumour about Allardyce's agent. I think it's Scott McGarvey. I think there was Ravel Morrison. He signed for West Ham from United. And there was an altercation between Allardyce and Ravel, because Allardyce wanted Ravel Morrison to sign up with his own agent, Scott McGarvey, and it didn't happen. That's the reason why he dropped him and ended up at QPR.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is, but...
That's totally correct. That's why Ravel Morrison keeps on putting stuff on Twitter about when it come out, I told you, no stuff like along them lines.
Gents, can we read too much into Chelsea's performance? They got a big game on Sunday against United. This is their comeback win, I guess, after a few drab results. What do you reckon of Chelsea, Rodri?
They're coming together. I think he wants to get this 3-5-2 system. It's going to take time. So, it's going to take time to. They could adapt to it straight away, but they could struggle and take till Christmas. So I can't see Chelsea challenging for the title, but I think they'll be in the top four. I just think this 3-5-2, he obviously, if it's his system, he played it in Juventus, he played it in Italy. He's obviously come here, he's not been daft like Van Gaal was and just played the system. He's got to see if he can play the system 4-4-2 or 4 at the back. He doesn't like it, so he's going to the 3, what he prefers, and it's going to take time.
And Jay Ivanovic is doubtful for the weekend. Do you think David Luiz and Cahill will be able to cope with United?
Do
Do you know what? It could end up being another 0-0 because Mourinho won't want to get beat. Conte won't want to get beat.
Yeah.
It could end up being another dull 0-0 unless there's an early mistake or goal. But you know, again, you don't know, do you? Because you don't. I say 0-0 because it don't take anything to score a goal. But it depends on the referee's performance. I don't know who the referee is, but.
And we've got a game Thursday. They've got a 3 week, so they'll be revving to go, and might be some heavy legs on the United side.
It depends who he puts. Depends who Mourinho puts. The squad is home, isn't it? So you haven't got to travel. So it probably rest. I should imagine he rest Zlatan. Maybe leave him on the bench because if they lose that game on Thursday, it doesn't really matter, does it? I think it's against Feyenoord.
Feyenoord at home, yeah.
Fenerbahce, I mean, I can't see him losing anyway, no matter what squad, because Feyenoord are poor at the minute.
I think it's Fenerbahce, isn't it? Fenerbahce?
Fenerbahce.
Yeah. But they don't travel well anyway, do they? They're notorious for not travelling well in Europe.
They've got Van Persie, haven't they? So he's got a point to prove, I guess.
But again, he's not been playing much, has he, RVP?
Has he not? Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, Rooney might get a game as well last time he played there.
Yeah. That's crazy to say that, isn't it? Yeah, like Rooney might get a game. Yeah,
he got an hat trick on his debut, I think, was against Fenerbahce.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll say if he puts him on the bench, if he keeps Rooney on the bench and doesn't play Zlatan, that'll be a kick in the teeth for Rooney, won't it?
Mm. Yeah. To be honest, I can't see Rooney staying next season. I think he'll be gone personally.
I think his legs are gone still.
Yeah. Yeah. He has, and it's just. To keep the sponsors happy now, to make sure that he gets his face seen on the screen and whatnot. That's what I think, personally. I don't think he's got much offer, but we've bashed Rooney enough. Starting to feel sorry for him, actually. Rodri's savage when it comes to him.
Well, you say that still. When Mourinho was at Chelsea, he tried to get Rooney a couple of times.
That's right.
So he does like him.
That's right, yeah.
He's seen him close hand now, so he might have seen something that he doesn't like the trade. You just never know, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Or maybe he's saving him for January, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
Let's see. Well,
he's a person that doesn't like to sit on the bench. He's a person that wants to play every single game. So is he going to be happy with sitting on the bench till the end of the season?
No.
And then do that the next season?
No, I doubt it. I think he's trying to keep him fresh as possible, to be fair. I think he knows, as you said, he hasn't got the legs. So I think come January, February, when the games come thick and fast, I think that's when we're going to see more of Wayne Rooney, to be fair. And I'm surprised that Anthony Martial hasn't been getting that many games. But again, we're talking about United again.
I think he's injured.
Yeah, could be, yeah.
What about Depay? What's happened to him? Is he still United, or have they sold him?
No, he's still there taking his Instagram photographs and whatnot, so...
Yeah, he's old for him. He's another nanny.
Yeah, I think
it's mad, though, because I want to remain someone this week, but someone who works close with DP said he's actually a really nice guy, and but he's just got this, the people around him that sort of distract him from football, you know.
Right, that's not a surprise, to be fair. It's not a surprise at all, but hey, let's see. Maybe Mourinho can turn it around. I don't know, but let's see.
He's only young, though, still, isn't he? Was he 21, 22?
Yeah, about 22. Yeah, I think about that, yeah. And he had a great season for PSV a couple of seasons ago. Was it last year? 2 years ago, yeah. He was a leading goal scorer. But coming from the Dutch league, it's hit and miss. We've seen so many different players in the past come to the Premier League from...
Ryan Babel was one, Liverpool.
Kesman was another one. He had a fantastic time at PSV and he came out here and did nothing. But then you had the likes of Van Nistelrooy and all that, so...
But didn't you have, you know, but the thing is, like, I remember Babel won, like, the you know, Euro tournament player of the year of the tournament, and then I think Depay did, didn't he? He was, like, one of the sort of European, Euro under-21 player of the tournament. Yeah. And then it's just, I think it's probably, like, same with Ryan Babel, everyone says about him.
Didn't Dirk Kuyt score, like, 30, 40 goals a season before he comes to Liverpool?
Yeah.
In the Dutch league.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I'll give you that one, yeah. And he's gone back there, still scoring 30, 40 goals.
Yeah, it's totally different. Premiership.
Exactly.
Totally different.
But Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And so, in other news, an extract from Mauro Icardi's autobiography caused a bit of a stir in Serie A at the weekend. The 23-year-old, yes, he's 23 and he has an autobiography, relived an incident after the 3-1 loss away to Sassuolo 2 years ago. In a nutshell, Icardi claimed to have handed his shirt to a kid in the crowd, only to have it thrown back by an ultra, leading to exchange of words. Icardi's first mistake. His next error was to write a book that he grew up in a tough neighbourhood in South America and that he'd bring 100 criminals from Argentina to kill the Inter Ultras. It's like when you're at school, isn't it? I'm gonna bring my mates. On the eve of Sunday's game, he took to Instagram to apologise, saying his comments were what was going on for his mind at the time. But unfortunately, the Ultras were having none of it. Not surprised there. Two banners were hung, one which read, "Icardi, you're the making up shit to sell more copies, you heinous mercenary," and the other had, "You use a child to justify yourself and throw mud in our faces. You're not a man, you're not a captain, you're just a cowardly piece of shit." Just to make matters worse, Icardi missed a penalty which would have put Inter 2 up and probably won the game. Instead, they lost 2-1. Gents, this is the point of no return for Icardi, isn't it? Football fans in Italy aren't a forgiving bunch, are they?
No, I don't think of it much longer, do you?
No,
I think
it's been the same. Sorry.
I think it's been a bit naive and very, very silly, because they're a crazy bunch, them lot.
Do you think, Roger, he's done it from reading between the lines? Do you reckon he'd engineered that deliberately, you know, because he was rumoured him coming in the summer, wasn't there, moving over?
But why would you do that? I just think it's idiotic to say stuff like that. Just to bring 100, because I just think it's silly. I just think it's ridiculous. They're basically your own fans who support you, and you're saying stuff like that is just ridiculous.
But this is the thing that confuses me. He's written a book, an autobiography. Did no one from Inter Milan actually read it and say to him, "Look, you shouldn't be putting something like this in. You know, take it out." This is what confuses me. I mean, he's got an agent, he's got a lawyer, he's got Inter there. I mean, that's already three parties. Not one of them turned around and said to him, "Maybe that's not a good idea, mate."
Well, that would lead you to think that it's planned, that it's meant to sell more books, to be more controversial, but more controversial for himself, and to make a bit more money. But you just don't know the ins and outs of it. You just might be a naive young footballer. How old is he?
23, 22, 23, I think. Yeah, Rodriguez.
There you go. So
he's
just basically for money, isn't
it? 22, 23, bringing
out an
Arsenal. Yeah. I still think that, I think you'll see him go. I do really think that he'll be leaving very soon. But I could be wrong.
I don't think he'd be able to stay there much longer, do you?
I think that's it for him, to be fair. Because, I mean, when you've got someone like Javier Zanetti, who's like the club president, saying, you know, this guy, you know, it doesn't make the right... he hasn't got a good sense of judgment and whatnot. But the thing is, who's going to want him? With that kind of reputation, with that kind of behaviour, who's going to want him? And this is like a mediocre French team that wants to take a gamble on him, like Nice did with Balotelli. I don't know who's going to want to take him on board. He's not a prolific goal scorer either, to be fair. He's not going to get you 1-2 or 2-4.
He'd probably end up at Spurs or something. Now he said that, you know, or Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? He'd probably bring his next signing. But that'd be the funny thing. I don't know. Maybe Nice might take an opportunity on, because Nice has signed quite a few Italians in the last couple of years, and they're top of the league at the minute.
Yeah.
They seem to got a coach who's getting the best out of a bad, you know, like Balotelli, scoring for fun. And I know it's poor league, in my opinion, in France, but he's scoring for fun, Balotelli.
That's right.
So, in football, there's always someone that'll take someone who's a bad guy. There's always someone that can think they can.
Big Sam. Big Sam will get him with Sunderland in January.
Yeah.
Get him on loan.
There'll always be some takers.
I think Salford City needs a striker, don't they, Rodri, after their talk the weekend?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay, and former Manchester United striker Dwight York has put a few noses out of joint by suggesting racism is one of the reasons why he hasn't found a managerial role. When asked in an interview with beIN Sports if a lack of managerial experience or his skin colour were factors in him being overlooked, he replied with, "I think there's a bit of both here." Now, gents, of the 92 teams in four leagues, only three are black managers. That's Hasselbank at QPR, Chris Hughton at Brighton, and Keith Carlisle. So when you look at it like that, it's fair to say that Dwight Yule has a point. Do you agree with him? Is race or skin colour a no-no for many club owners?
I'll let Rodri go first on this.
He has got a bit of a point, in my opinion, but, you know, is Dwight York trying to get a manager's job at League 2, League 1, or is he just waiting for a big job? What's he doing?
Well, I know he had an interview this morning with a certain radio station, which I will not mention, but he was saying, you know, I've played at the Premier League, I've played in the Championship, so that's kind of my level. So at first he was kind of insinuating that he didn't want a League 2 club, but then when someone said to him, well, would you take a League 2, he was like, well, I need to earn my corn. So it seems like he doesn't know where he wants to manage.
He's saying he's at his level, but he's got to start somewhere.
Well, exactly.
Look at Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. He started at Burton. Now he's at QPR. And you've got to be willing to start at the bottom, even though you've been a top player. If you're not getting a top job, what are you going to do? Just sit and moan about it? Or are you going to go out and do something about it and put your name out there? And then you can judge it if he says, yeah, I've had an interview here, I've had an interview there. But he's not had any interviews. He's just going off the three managers out of the 92. But are these black managers getting out there, these top black ex-players getting out there and doing interviews in the bottom leagues, in the lower league of the clubs? I don't think they are.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt quickly, Rodri, you've got like Paul Ince, he's fantastic, isn't he? And he did his stripes at like Macclesfield, MK Dons.
Yeah, there you go. Some of them, that's what you have to do. And I don't think some of them don't want to do that.
Mm.
I don't believe Dwight York's been interviewed by a League 2 or League 1 club. He's even put his CV out there. He's just waiting for a Championship job because I'm Dwight York and I've been a top player. It doesn't work like that.
Well, the thing is, his main gripe actually wasn't the whole racial issue. It was actually the fact that Aston Villa didn't invite him for an interview when he applied to the job. They just strictly said no, straight up. But the thing is, to be fair on them, they already knew who they wanted, so why would they interview someone for the sake of doing it? It doesn't make sense.
In the situation at Aston Villa in the now, why would you even attempt to interview Dwight York? He's got no experience whatsoever to be a manager. They're in a desperate situation and you need someone to come in who's experienced, who's had promotion, who's been a Premier League manager, because that's where they want to go, i.e. that's why he brought Steve Bruce in. So they've obviously probably earmarked Steve Bruce and Dwight York, so we don't want to waste your time or ours. So that's why we've said no.
Mm.
That's pretty clear to me why they've said no.
Well, look, they took a punt with Di Matteo, who's won the Champions League, okay, albeit with a squad he inherited at Chelsea, but he won the Champions League with Chelsea, and they took a punt with him, and it didn't work out. So you're right, why would they take another calculated gamble with Dwight York? I mean, they tried it with Lambert in the past, who had a fairly good record at Colchester and Norwich. They tried it with the French fella, Remy Gard, who had a good record at Lyon. So now they're going safety first, and I completely agree with you. There's nothing wrong with Steve Bruce's appointment, personally.
I see tonight, just quickly, they won in 90th minute, snatched a victory.
Villa?
Yeah, last minute penalty. So the,
okay.
But for me personally, I think, you know, with Di Matteo, people can say it didn't work out, but he only had, what, 9 games or 10 games, and he only lost 1 game.
I mean, that Chelsea side had a lot of leaders who basically managed games themselves.
Yeah.
He just picked the team.
But what do you think, Rod? I thought beginning of the season, I thought the clubs in the Football League were being a bit more patient because there's not been as many sackings. It's been the best for like 10 years or something. But do you not think that with Villa, they've acted a bit quickly? Or what do you think? Because I think it's quite a close league and obviously no one's got a given right to get
thrown
out of that league.
With the team we've got, they shouldn't be in the bottom half of the league. Plus the money they've spent as well, the players they've brought in. And
but they've drawn nine games, Rod. They've drawn nine, haven't they?
It's a result business, mate. It's a result business. There's a lot of money at stake and they've obviously looked at it in-house and thought he's not the right person for us to go forward.
But then that makes you think that, you know, the structure of the board and how it's going to be, a lot of change, isn't it, at boardroom level?
Well, it wouldn't have been my choice. I would have stuck with him because how can you judge him over 2 or 3 months? It's just impossible. But it's a result business, and if you're spending that kind of money, and obviously they've not liked what they've seen, and they've pushed the trigger, it wouldn't have been my choice. But then again, he would have been my choice to be manager, so...
No. Do you think Steve Bruce will get him out of the league?
Yes, I do, and I think he'll do it this year. I think they'll get him through the playoffs, and they'll get promoted. I really
look at Derby, they're struggling. I'm looking at the table now. Derby is struggling down the bottom, right by them.
Well, see, here's the other thing. I'm glad you mentioned Derby, Jay, because they've appointed or reappointed Steve McLaren when Chris Powell was there waiting for the job. So, again.
Yeah. On the original subject, what we started talking about, I actually feel that he has got a point, Dwight York, but, like Roger said, how many jobs... I'd be interested to see how many jobs he's actually applied for, actually physically phoned up or his agent and said, you know, I want to put Dwight's name in the ring, you know, at like Carlisle or, you know, club, you know, lower league clubs, because that's what Paul Lynch went out and did, didn't he? You know, he started off at, you know, lower down and he did, you know, he earned his stripes, isn't it? I mean, that's the problem, because he's got a big name, it doesn't always work. It worked with players like Jürgen Klinsmann, you know, went straight into it without any coaching badges, but, you know, no one's got a divine right, have they, to take a big job on anyway?
Absolutely not. But I think that's why teams keep on appointing the likes of Neil Warnock, because somehow they manage to get results, even though they're very unfancied.
Yeah, that's why I go back to Sam Allen. That's why I think he'll come back in, because even though they might be not people's cups of tea, they get the job done.
Yeah,
I don't think though Sam will. I think he'll get a big ban. I think he can get a big ban from the FA.
Or make an example, you reckon?
Well, because they've been embarrassed, and because, you know, someone's head's going to roll on the decision, because they're now coming out yesterday at the House of Commons, wasn't it? Or there was a big inquiry that started about, you know, one of the questions was with his past, how was this not sort of brought up with his past? How was he allowed to get the job? It was questioned, and then it got avoided by saying, oh, we didn't know about it, his past, you know, this particular, whoever it was, and, you know, who got the question asked to him, so that we didn't realise about his past. I didn't anyway, personally. He tried to pass the buck on.
Mm.
So they haven't come out and said that he's getting banned, but they said they're looking into it, investigating still. So the longer it goes on, says to me that he may get a ban.
Jay, you know what, to be honest, I think the FA knew exactly what Sam Allardyce was about. They knew that.
Of course.
That they appointed him to appease the fans because they wanted a guy that beat his chest and, you know, said, I'm patriotic, I can turn England around, and he's what the people wanted. And here you go, he's messed up. And now the FA turned around saying, well, look, we're going to do things our way now because you got your way, and it's, you know, shouting us from a great height.
Yeah, let's be honest, though, quickly, Southgate's not the right man, is he?
Well,
he's just a yes man.
Who is the right man, though? Let's be honest. I mean, we're talking about England now, but who is the right man for the job? Because at the end of the day, they don't want a foreign manager. I mean, personally, I'd have gone with Blanc, personally. But anyway, that's by the by. But which Englishman is good enough for the job? I don't know.
Well, Eddie Howe keeps getting put in the ring, but and he's turned it down, saying so not ready, which you'll probably agree, not ready for it. It's a poison chalice, isn't it? Look at Keegan and people like that who've had it, and Hoddle. You know, it's a poison chalice.
Mate.
I personally would say currently, my as a stopgap, this Rodri probably either going to really agree or actually like hammer me for it. But I said this last time, still, I would have gone with Redknapp temporarily with Rio or Gerrard or both of them, you know, for at least 2 years maybe, and then perhaps walk step aside. But obviously, Harry's got a bit of a reputation himself.
Well, Redknapp said the other day that he hates international football and he can't stand it, and he's just waiting for the Premier League to return every week. Can you imagine him as a manager?
He can't. But I mean, like, you know, again, if it was offered to him on a plate, would he turn it down with like someone like Rio, Lampard or Shearer? Or, you know, there's talk, isn't it, in the press have been put their names in the ring, have at least two as a combo, either Fernand Shearer or Fernand and Gerrard, or Gerrard and Shearer. You know,
well, they were talking about Glenn Hoddle a few months ago, weren't they, before Allardyce got the job?
That's right.
And that's just going back. That's going way back into time, isn't it, honestly? You might as well get Terry Venables.
What do you think, Rodri?
I don't care, I'm Welsh.
Superb.
Chris Coleman, let's get Chris Coleman then.
Yeah,
Bobby Gould.
No, you need Gareth Bale, that's what you need. You don't need a manager, you need a Gareth Bale. I would stick with Southgate. I would get someone in like a Shearer with him though. I would stick with Gareth Southgate, to be honest.
Shearer keeps throwing his hat in, but obviously he must have upset someone at the FA.
Pick someone like a real Ferdinand or an Alan Shearer with him. Hopefully he's better than Gary Neville. And just, that's what I'd go with.
Yeah, I think
maybe Mr.
Like,
Keane.
Like Jay was saying, if it was 3 or 4 years ago, I'd have gone with Harry Redknapp.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp's burning his bridges now. I don't think they'll go with him though.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with Harry, is that he gets players are underperforming, which that's what it is. No, the talent's there, isn't it? We can't disagree, but they're just underperforming when they put the England shirt on. And Harry always got the best out of sort of players who weren't performing. You know, like when Defoe had his dry spells, he'd always get the best out of Defoe. Players like Cabral, I remember him getting good performances out of Cabral, and then Cabral goes, but Sunderland shirt on is absolutely awful. But
yeah, it'd be ideal, Harry Redknapp. His character and his persona, the way he gets them going, he'd be ideal, but I don't think they'd ever go with him now.
I think.
Why do you think they didn't go for Shearer, though, as well? Shearer keeps putting his hat in.
Yes, he's another boring familiar. someone like him, Shearer, Lineker, or I don't know, it's difficult because it's just a poison chalice whoever takes it on. There's so much pressure on him. I don't know why. Why do they put so much pressure on him? They do so well in the group stages. As soon as they get to the competition, they just go to pieces.
Yeah, but look who they get in the group stages, Rodri. Look who England get in the group stages, though. They get no marked teams, let's be honest. They get nothing teams in the group stages.
Yeah, I know, mate, but Iceland, come on.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah. Listen, I've been saying it for a couple of weeks. I mean, England's last 7 games have been twice against Slovakia, once against Slovenia, once against Russia, once against Wales, Malta, and I forget who the other team was, but the only teams they beat were Malta and Wales. And I'm thinking, okay, fair enough. Wales had
Malta were awful, though. Malta, I can't believe that everyone's saying they're satisfied with that. 2-0 against Malta at home, shocking.
Well, exactly.
Scotland beating 4-0 away.
Right.
Couldn't
beat Russia. Couldn't beat Slovakia. Just about beat them once the second time round, the last minute goal. Couldn't beat Slovenia. I mean, come on now. I mean, this is England's level now. I'm sorry. That's England's level.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Gareth Southgate isn't the right man. You know, I don't care what anyone says. 4 points ain't good enough. Should have been 6, not 4. You know, they've got to make a drastic change on the whole setup at England. That's my opinion, you know.
My opinion is, keep it as it is, just carry on, just keep on going. Happy as Larry. We are now ranked higher than England.
I think you will stay like that for a while as well.
So enjoying it while it lasts.
Excellent. Well, just before we go, let's have a quick quiz, shall we? It's a new game, it's called Hat Trick Firsts, and basically you need to name the first player of each nationality to score a Premier League hat-trick. You get an extra point for naming the club they were playing at the time. So, for example...
Phil, can you say that again? Sorry, it broke up a bit. Sorry.
So, no, I need you to name the first player of each nationality I mention who scored the Premier League hat-trick. And you get an extra point for naming the club they played for. So, for example, if I said, who's the first Englishman to score a Premier League hat-trick? That's Mark Robbins. Now, if you can guess the club he was at the time, Norwich City, you get an extra point. Okay, so I've got 3 each for you.
Flipping now.
Yeah? Do you know what? To be honest, you say that, but... So, who was the first Spaniard to score a Premier League hat-trick?
What was the guy who played for Real Madrid? He was did he play for Real Madrid? He used to play for Real Madrid.
Well, and then who did he play for afterwards?
Was it Middlesbrough?
The only Real Madrid player I can think of that played in the Premier League up front was Morientes. Spanish.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
Played Liverpool, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. Okay, you say Morientes, I'll give you the answer afterwards. Okay, Jay, who was the first German to score a Premier League hat-trick?
German? Klinsmann?
Ah, bang on. Wonderful. Right, Rodri, first Italian.
I think I got this one. Gianluca Vialli?
No, unfortunately not. It was Ravanelli.
I was going to say Fabrizio Vitali. Is that Verim Zola or Navanilla?
Jay, first Bulgarian.
Are you got to be. It's got to be Berbatov.
You got it. What do you say, Rodri?
Yeah, it is one. I had one last time.
All right, Rodri, first Nigerian.
That's easy. He played for Everton. What was his name? No. Played for Norwich.
Yep.
Efanikuku.
Excellent. There you go.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to say Yak. Feed the Yak.
Excellent. And, Jay, who's the first Brazilian?
First Brazilian?
Yeah.
God. Has it been a Brazilian striker?
Yeah.
How long? Can you give me a clue?
He played in Holland at one point. In fact, he joined this club from a team in Holland, and he also played alongside Samaras, I believe, at the same Dutch club, I think. I think it was Heerenveen, I think. In fact, I think he scored this hat-trick on his debut, I think. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he scored the hat-trick on his debut, and then he just
disappeared. You know about Rubinho?
No.
Alfonso Alves. Alves from Middlesbrough.
That's the one. Excellent. Alfonso Alves. So you got...
Did you not take his first answer there?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear his first answer. That's what I asked him.
Give me half a point then.
Well, you got the club right, so I'll give you that one. Yeah, so the first Spaniard was Torres.
Torres.
There you go. It's a wonderful
team, right?
You won that one, Jay. Well done. Do you want to guess who was the first Norwegian to score a hat-trick?
Norwegian. Oleg Gunnar Solskjaer, isn't it?
Nope. Try think a bit earlier than that.
So, Fjortoff, Jan Åge Fjortoff.
That's the one, the guy that does the aeroplane thingies, and now he's working for German TV. Wonderful. Brilliant, gents. Well, look, thank you ever so much for agreeing to appear on the show. It's been a great show, personally, I think, anyway.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Cheers, Bob.
Excellent.
Love it as usual. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Talk forever, especially Rodri. He's got good foot noise.
Absolutely. Well, look, guys, you want to give your Twitter handles before I let you guys go?
My Twitter handle is Rod James Giggs.
And mine is J7 Austin. And I've got my company, which is Lucky7PR.
Excellent. Who have you got signed up lately?
I've got a lot of the Miss Great Britain finalists signed up. Last week.
See, I wanted you to say that.
I know you give great support on them.
Standard.
So I'm really grateful. And... And then I've also just signed, but non-exclusively, is Paul Manners from Britain's Got Talent. He's a character. He was the one who did that really catchy song that Dave Wellings promised to sign up, and then he let him down. Oh. Didn't sign him up.
No surprise there, really. Making promises on TV, making promises on TV and all that. But hey,
excellent. We need to get him on your show. Actually, he likes football. He plays in goal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we've got him. In fact, actually, it might be something that either you two might want to get involved in. Sunday, we've got a charity match talking about Villa. Aston Villa Legends versus Virgin Trains.
No way. Get out of here.
That's Sutton Coldfield.
They actually arranged it.
Yeah, it's happening this Sunday at Sutton Coldfield FC with Northern Prem. It's at 4 o'clock. And Gordon Cowans is managed by Brian Little, the Aston Villa team.
Wow.
And then the Virgin Train team, celebrity team, is managed by Peter Whiff.
Okay.
I've got my Zlatan lookalike. He's playing for the Virgin Train. Paul Manners from Britain's Got Talent. Stevie Ritchie from X Factor. But I'm sure Roger could put a shift in still.
We've got charity game on Sunday. I played for the All-Star, so... I've got one to play with Coronation Street and the Emmerdale and
Excellent, gents. Well, look, thanks ever so much for your time. It's been a great show and look forward to having you both on again.
Cheers, thank you.
Excellent.
Cheers, fellas. Cheers, Jay. Speak to you soon.
Right, before I go, just like to say, give us a follow on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. You can follow our friends over at the FNX Network at FNX Network and also My Sportswear at My Sportswear 1. We'll be back next week. Take care now.